Two runoff elections in Georgia next month will decide control of the U.S. Senate. In November, neither Republican incumbent Kelly Loeffler nor Democratic challenger Raphael Warnock secured enough votes to win the election. And a second Senate race between Republican David Perdue and Democrat John Ossoff is headed to a runoff as well. Now, political organizations are trying to woo voters in the state, particularly Latino voters, the number of which is growing. And although the majority of Latino voters in Georgia voted for Democrats in the 2020 election, conservatives are pushing to win over those voters for the Republican candidates. Marcela Valdez is a contributing writer for the New York Times Magazine, and she joins me now. Marcela, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So what does the population of Latinos look like in Georgia? Who are we talking about here?
There are about a million Latinos now living in Georgia, and about 8% of Georgians now speak Spanish in their home.
And are we talking about Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, Cubans, Dominicans? Who are we talking about?
In Georgia, the makeup of the Latinos is actually mostly Mexican-American, which makes it very different from Florida, which is mostly a Caribbean, Puerto Rican, Cuban, and South American population. In Georgia, we're talking about people who have come in from other parts of the United States or directly from Mexico, usually to work either in the agricultural industry, especially the poultry industry, or in the carpet industry, or in construction. And one thing that might be important to know about this population is that they were really recruited, a lot of them, to come to Georgia for working in jobs. So there was recruitment in Mexico, companies recruiting people from Mexico to come finish construction jobs, particularly, for example, before the 1996 Summer Olympics in Georgia, and also to come work in the poultry factories.
Was this a vote that was decisive in 2020 in the presidential election now that the Georgia votes have been counted?
It's possible. I mean, the margin between Biden and Trump was less than 13,000 votes, and there were 160,000 Latino votes cast in Georgia. So how those broke off, I mean, you can't ever definitively say, oh, this 13,000 votes were Latinos, or they were African-Americans, or they were suburban mothers. But there's a chance that a lot of those were Latino votes that made a difference.
We're talking about the upcoming elections in Georgia with Marcela Valdez from the New York Times Magazine. This is The Takeaway. Marcela, politics in Georgia, in the South, how do they differ from where Latinos have fit historically in the political realm of the United States?
Well, one political scientist I spoke with in Georgia said to me, you know, in the South, for hundreds of years, the history of politics there has really been a black and white story. And this influx of Latinos into the state mixes that dynamic up a bit. So historically, the large majority of whites in Georgia have voted Republican, and the large majority of African Americans have voted Democratic. Latinos are a little bit less predictable. So although the majority of them voted for Biden, you can look at their primary participation because Georgia has open primaries. And you can see, for example, in 2016, about half the Latinos voted in the Republican primary and about half of them voted in the Democratic primary. That's a 50-50 split. So how they can vote in any particular election, it's hard to get a bead on exactly where they would vote. And I think that means that voter outreach efforts and persuasion efforts are particularly important.
Let's talk about some of those. One of those outreach efforts is coming towards conservative and potentially Republican Latinos in the state. And that's from the Libre Initiative. Let's talk about what they're doing on the ground, Marcela.
So the Libre Initiative is a national organization that was built with help by the Charles Koch Institute. They're now essentially the Latino Spanish-speaking arm of Americans for Prosperity. They have had an office in Georgia for a couple of years now. They've gotten particularly more serious about it in the past year and a half or so. And during the 2016 general election, that office was not particularly active. They didn't endorse any candidates. Libre didn't. Americans for Prosperity did, but Libre didn't. Now, in the runoff, Libra has endorsed Perdue, and they are sending staffers and volunteers from all their other national locations, Florida, Nevada, North Carolina, for example, coming in to knock on doors and to make phone calls that target Latino conservatives to help turn them out for the runoff election in January.
How effective? I mean, it'll be hard to tell until there's actually an election here. But do those efforts appear to be gaining any traction right now?
It's hard to say. If it's too soon to say whether these efforts are gaining traction. But what I can say is that I think that in the past, their efforts have made a pretty significant difference. They were very active in Florida this year, calling conservatives in the Miami-Dade area, in the southern Florida area, and also up near Orlando. Their efforts helped elect several people. They were in the Florida State House. And so I think that they have a very good track record of, one, identifying Latinos who would be sympathetic to their message, which is very important because those Latinos might be less than a majority. So finding the right people that they want to hear their message and then motivating those people to actually go out and cast votes.
Marcela, I know we've been talking about the Libre initiative, the conservative efforts here to get Latinos out to vote. What about liberal and progressive groups in the state? What have they been doing?
Well, in terms of targeting Latinos, the other organizations that I looked at in Georgia were nonpartisan organizations. I mean, Libre is technically a nonpartisan organization, but they are conservative issues-oriented one. These other two nonpartisan organizations that I was looking at, the Latino Community Fund and the Georgia Association of Elected Officials, don't have any policy platforms that they're trying to push. And so they are really working hard to turn out Latinos. And in fact, they are a big part of the reason why so many Latinos are registered to vote in Georgia now. Since 2008, the number of Latinos registered to vote in Georgia has more than doubled. And that is in large part because of these efforts of these two organizations. But they are not trying to turn out either progressives or conservatives. They're just trying to increase Latino participation in Georgia politics.
And Marcela, as we know, with increased participation, particularly of communities of color, there often comes voter suppression. Have we seen that in the state of Georgia with Latino voters in particular?
I did hear especially about one law that was really affecting Latinos in the state. Whether its intention was discriminatory, I can't say, but its effect certainly is. It's the exact match procedure for voter registrations in Georgia. And for example, that means that if you have two last names, as many Latinos do, if your last name is, say, Valdez Lopez, and on your driver's license, it says Valdez hyphen Lopez. And when you register to vote, you just write Valdez space Lopez. Then your voter registration could be rejected because of a hyphen means that it's not an exact match. And that law then has a disproportionate effect on people who have non-standard American last names. And so that it's gotten to the point that Galeo, for example, now goes to naturalization ceremonies and they get people to register to vote and they staple their naturalization copies of their naturalization papers with their voter registration so that they can't be rejected because they have proof of citizenship there.
Marcela Valdez is a contributing writer for the New York Times Magazine. Marcela, thanks so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.